airwaves that the Pacifica Foundation owns. That's first question.
Let me just remind you, though, if my memory is correct in this. We had asked the local advisory boards to make sure that that happened at each station.
But the data comes from the stations, and the stations already have the data. And it should be nothing because all of the stations have their programs on the web. I don't see why that needs to go to the local station boards. It just comes from the stations as a management.
Right, but what I'm saying is to remind us about what we did ask. We asked each of the local advisory boards. So all I'm saying is
I understand what you're saying. I'm not asking local advisory boards to produce that information.
Right.
I want that from our management structure that produces the programming. Okay. That's something they produce. They should record it, and they should make it public what's going out on the airs. And I want to know what it is. So we don't have to talk in innuendo. We can say, well, here's the actual numbers of what's going out on the airs. Okay, two, and I don't think that should take anything more than 3 hours for a station to say, here goes our program. And if they got to break it down categorically, music, public affairs, I would love to see a breakdown of demographics of programmers, how many women, men, so forth and so on, like it was done at KPFA. Right. I don't think that should be a big problem and should be done in a week. Second, the board in June issued a directive that there would be 2 hours of bylaws programming every week. Out of 168 hours a week, we said we want 2 hours of bylaws or program governance. That hasn't occurred since June when that directive gone down. Why hasn't it occurred, and when will it finally occur at every station that for a week we get those 2 hours of programming that deals specifically with bylaws and governance?
The answer to the first question, Jabari, I will make sure that we get a report to the board by the next board meeting, a programming audit of every station. So we'll get that to you by the next board meeting. On the second question, it was my understanding that the two-hour programming bylaws programming issue was only from the Berkeley meeting.
No,
it was not.
No. No, I actually went and looked at the notes on that. It was open-ended. There was no closure date on that.
Well, then I take responsibility for that because it was my understanding that was only to run up to September, and I hadn't been enforcing that policy.
Well, if I can just say that at our last meeting, we voted to continue it just in case it was unclear.
Right.
Good. Well, I will make sure that it's carried out.
Let me just also, again, I know everyone is strapped here, but, and I said before in my opening comments, I know everybody is on overload, but I really agree with Jabari that getting an overview, a rundown of an audit, if you will, of what the program is, it shouldn't take, I mean, I don't know when we're going to meet again. I think if we could ask for it by the first of the year, it shouldn't take several months, and it may be another 2 or 3 months before this board meets again. So I would like us to ask directly now to the station, ask the station managers to do that, that the job of the national office should just be to gather that. You shouldn't have to do the audit at each station. Each station should do its own audit.
Right.
And the station managers, I believe, are all in the room right now. Maybe one is missing, but you know, we should make sure each station manager is asked to do that.
May I suggest that we use the template for the KPFA audit? It gives us what kind of programming is, whether it's ecological, whether it's news, whether it's public affairs, whether it's music, or whether it's mixed. It also gives us the racial diversity breakdown, the male-female gender data for all the programs on KPFA.
Yeah,
and you know, I just want to reiterate, this is vitally important information. We need to have accurate information so we can dispel or even highlight and observe the disparities that we have in terms of male, female, whatever. But we need to start with accurate information first. That will help dispel rumors and innuendos, but it would also have everybody on the same page when we start talking, you know, about the future development of programming and programmers.
Can I just suggest that it might be good, Jabari, maybe you would work on this, but Max actually already did a lot of work in providing a template, but that we give to each of the station managers specific information that we want back, so that we get even information from all five stations. In other words, the breakdown of news, public affairs, arts and cultural programming, the breakdown in terms of racial composition, gender composition of on-air programming, the breakdown of what happens during drive time and what happens at, you know, off-peak hours, you know, whatever the questions are, whatever the information is. So none of the stations can say, well, we didn't know you wanted that information. So maybe working with Max, we can just put the 5 or 6 or 10, whatever it is, items that we want down on paper and make sure they all have them. Okay, let me just, Teresa, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I would like to say something. I guess we're waxing eloquent. I would like to say, in addition, you're right, the first step is get accurate information. I would like to comment on Monday nights, we have a Gay and Lesbian Voices on our station, and we have one person, J.D. Doyle, that started collecting music in this area. And it's a program that I really looked forward to. It really gave layers and depth to that show. It was not a public affairs versus music issue. The music that fit the program was incorporated into it, and really it gave it a depth that I think was, you know, made it exponentially more beautiful program that I really looked forward to. So I'm thinking that once we do this, that our programming will be exponentially better.
Okay, I have 13 people of you all who've raised your hands. I think I got everyone whose hands has gone up. If I didn't know your name, I marked down what color shirt you were wearing or something. So, you know, so I have everybody. What I'd like to do is maybe take a number of comments or questions instead of just responding to each one. Let's hear from a whole bunch of people before we get responses from Dan or other people. That's okay. So I have Steve Conley next, and then Sam Husseini. I'm sorry, I forgot. Susan was next. Susan was next, then Steve, then Sam. Susan. Either one. Either if you have a question for Dan or a general comment, let's just put it all in the mix here. But let's not, if you have a comment, Dan, maybe you could just make some notes on what the questions are so we don't have to answer. Again, it's 8:45, and if we're going to really wrap this up by 9:30, then people have got to be short, and we got to, you know, use our time wisely. I got you down.
Okay, I'm Susan DeSilva, chair of the KPFA lab, and the comments that have been made here prompted me to make 3 quick comments. First of all, Leslie, you may not remember this, but the KPFA lab voted at one time that we really want to see the Democracy Now! Contract before it's final. And I think it'll help the process to have some transparency if you know, we know we can't see every step along the way, but maybe before it's final, it should be made public.
We'll ask the lawyer. Well, I'll ask the lawyer about
okay.
that.
In response to your plea that this board decide things on the bylaws and then move on, I just want to say that we have really listened with our hearts and our heads to each other on the manner of elections. We have gone over it and over it and over it. And it just may be that we're not going to agree or come to a compromise that people are happy with. So I really urge this board to take a stand and say, we know everyone's not happy, but this is what we're going to go with and move on. Because at some point, it's just picking, picking, picking. So that's how I feel about that. And I want to say about the programming, I do see KPFA making steps towards coming back with edgy shows, and I know Carol has some frustration on that, and Carol's actually serving on the program council now. But it is happening, and a program council can be an unwieldy thing, especially when you have all different constituencies on it. And I completely applaud what's happening in Houston as far as all these new shows. But I hope that eventually there it will also be more of a democratic process, which is messier and more cumbersome, but it's important to move in that direction. And that's all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Steve. Now Steve and then Sam.
Hi, Steve Conley from KPFA. First, I have a couple of questions, just two. And I wanted a clarification. When you talked about, by the way, some of the ideas you have are very, very exciting. And program conferences and national programming, training components, so forth and so on. Very exciting. And the question is what are we going to do about budgeting those kinds of issues? And I'm sure that's the main thing. And the problem I have with that is often things become prioritized. And when they become prioritized, often we go with what is more important. And usually that's some kind of national focus. And so these things drop off in terms of that. And I don't think that should happen at all. But I wanted to ask you about what you said about the training program concept based on the KPFA model or some kind of combination model. Now, do you see that as a national training program, or do you see that as a individual local station type of program? I wasn't very clear about what you meant by that.
Local station.
Okay, so it would not necessarily be a consistent training program throughout the network.
It may, we haven't put it, we're working on it to put it on paper, but it'll probably have some local characteristics. It'll have standard curriculum, that will be its main component, but probably that may be adapted to local particularities or local needs. But so, more or less, it'll be a fairly standard a program.
So will that require like a national training coordinator of some sort?
We haven't anticipated that at this point. No, we don't think so.
Okay, so it wouldn't be necessary to be consistent throughout the network on that issue?
Not at the national level, but at the local station levels, probably you would have it looking, the program looking very much like each other. Like typically there would be a training director, and I know Jim, who's here, could probably answer some more specific questions about how the First Voices Apprenticeship Program works at KPFA. But roughly it's had 20 years of experience there. They have a training director to running the program and several classes going at once, and we would roughly model what would happen at other stations around that. If the stations feel that that's that type of model is appropriate for them, but they may want to make whatever adjustments to fit local needs.
Okay, well, just one point. There is a history in Pacifica about not having consistent training programs, and if you don't have them, then they tend to fall off and they tend to become inconsistent, and consequently don't continue to grow the kinds of quality reporters that we really need to fight this new war that we want to in terms of expanding programming. The other issue has to do with outreach, and I agree with everything everybody said about the outreach issue, and I disagree with not focusing on that as a major process in terms of realizing that we're speaking to people generally in our community who agree with us when it comes to issues about the war, when it comes to issues about how we feel about, America's approach to dealing with Iraq or the Middle East or what have you. What we're not speaking to enough is the communities that we need to bring in and the diversity of those communities, the Asian communities. We hear it all the time about the various communities that we don't represent. And outreach is a very important component of that, particularly if it's going to be consistent. When you say that one station has possibly maybe an outreach budget coordinator, that worries me if that's not consistent throughout the network, and that worries me if we don't have a consistent plan about dealing with that outreach. I disagree with not considering that the most important part of that community, because if we're not representing and bringing in those particular communities, what does that say about our mission? And I think we have to take that as seriously as we do the war and those types of issues. So I would say that, as long as what you've heard today, that I think that's a very important future, consistent future for us to move in that direction in terms of expanding that kind. And the only way to do that is to increase very directly our outreach and to consider that important. And that sounds like a national coordinator to me, to be consistent with that throughout all the networks.
Sam, can we get the folks here, please? And then very short, George, make his comment.
question on that note. It's a question for you, you, and Susan, and also Carol. Like in Berkeley, y'all have a huge Asian population. How many Asian folks do you have on your lab?
Folks, I would like to not get into that kind of conversation now because there are, like I said, about 13 people on this list that want to make their concerns heard to this board. So as we move through the weekend, we're, you know, cognizant of their ideas, concerns, questions, input. So
I'm not. I mean, you.
He asked a question. I'll answer. We do not have any Asian member on our board. We have about 13% of our programmers are Asian.
I mean, what percentage? Okay, what percentage of your
Sam? Can we?
No. This.
George.
I'm sorry.
I do want to ask your cooperation, George. Just as we've asked the folks who come to the meetings to cooperate with us to let us do the business of the board, the agenda item that we're on now is the general community comment. So I'd like to respect that and you know, let people be heard. I will try. There's a few people who have passed me notes and raised their hands in the last 5 minutes. We'll try, but at 9:30, we're wrapping this up, and it's 5 to 9. I want to really ask the people coming up now to not make speeches. I'm not criticizing anybody, but, you know, to just really get to the question or the comment as quickly as you can. Sam?
I'll try to get to a couple of very quick questions if I could have quick answers. Dan, you mentioned the possibility of young men and women from the United States dying as a result of war. I didn't hear. I'm sure that we all are in agreement that Iraqi lives are just as important as U.S. lives. That could be construed as racist if not stated in this day and time.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. If I didn't say that, I absolutely would concur, you know, obviously.
As somebody who works in the news business as well, I've come to the firm conclusion that the quickest way, most effective way that Pacifica could, if it was frankly serious about addressing the war situation, would be to actually have somebody doing journalism in terms of going to news conferences at the Pentagon, the State Department, the White House, the Justice Department, and so on. What plans are there for that? We now have a Washington News Bureau chief, if I've gotten the title right. Do we have a Washington News Bureau?
No, we don't.
What plans are, you stressed the financial constraints that we have, and Leslie stressed the internal energy that's been dissipated. Frankly, not to sound too harsh, I think that a lot of those things happen because of a lack of leadership. And I think that if this board and its higher management shows some leadership in terms of getting something done, people will be tripping over themselves to give us money. Mm-hmm. If we have somebody who is sharp, holding accountable those in power who are waging permanent war. Mm-hmm. That is what this is. The name of this network is Pacifica. It was prophetic in its creation, and it is not living up to that. And I think it can be done quite simply. We have a lot of people doing a lot of things, except I think one of the few things that can tangibly change things. How do we make that happen? What plans can there be for that happening as quickly as possible?
Well, I'm sympathetic to the argument, Sam, but we have said for the last 11 months that the number one and number two priority of this organization at this point in its history, one is restoring financial stability, and two is dealing with the bylaws issues and meeting the obligations of the December legal settlement. So within that context, and I understand the frustrations that I'm hearing today from yourself and other board members about the urgent need for this network to meet its mission and provide the kind of programming and information that is going to be critical to an understanding of what is happening with the chronic war that is arcing, you know, from Colombia through North Africa, through the Middle East, south to Afghanistan. But I can't tell you, Sam, that I'm going to come out with and get a reporter tomorrow who's going to be down at the Justice Department. We have serious financial constraints. The general managers and the program directors talked about that as an option today. We'll try to look at that as quickly as possible and get somebody out there. But we do have serious financial problems that we have to resolve in this network. We can't have everything that we want. Just in the last 5 minutes, we've heard, you know, great arguments, passionate arguments for important positions, outreach for a reporter,
training.
You know, these are all key and very important things, but we can't do all of them, unfortunately. So we have to make tough choices.
Okay. Sorry, I don't remember your name. Yeah. Yes. And then after him is Donna Gould and then Susan Lee. I have your, again, I don't know your name, but I have you down as the guy with glasses. You're on there.
Okay. I'm Tom Gomez, and I'm part of WBIX, REAM's volunteer project at the station.
Can you step up to the mic?
And
thanks.
As I was listening to this, I couldn't help thinking that we're talking about the war. We're talking about budgetary constraints preventing us from getting people to cover events. We have people at WBIX like Chris Strom, who used to cover the Pentagon for a defense publication. He'd be willing to do it on a volunteer basis.
Great.
We have credible people in this community. 250,000 people travel here at their own expense to protest the war on October 26th. Many community activists would love to find an easier way to get their voices heard than chaining themselves to fences, laying down in front of police cars, and being beaten in the streets. I'm one such activist. That's how I came into the station. Reem suggested that. And I come to the station, and I realize, you know, I was part of the campaign last year. I was in the street with Dennis Moynihan, Reem, and the good guys won. I went on to focus on housing, which is kind of one of my core issues. I'm mainly a poverty activist. And I come this year, we still don't have morning news. At 6:30 in the morning, I got up this morning. I turn on the station. Right next to us on the dial is an extremely right-wing station. They're saying that Iraq's a material breach, that the U.S. needs to march in immediately. I turn to NPR. NPR is saying that the general strike against Chavez's government, the government that the U.S. tried to overthrow a few months ago, is succeeding and that Chavez will be forced from power. I know it's a lie. The Post even says the general strike is failing. Nobody's presenting the other side. And I turn to WPFW, and we're having morning jazz for those who just don't want to hear about the news. And this is Pacifica. I go to the station. I volunteer. I've been there for 3 weeks. Lou Hankins may be gone. Bessie Wash may be gone. But people who support them are still there. They call me to the side. They say the whole Pacifica campaign was waged over money, that the members of the board are seeking to get $50,000 each for coming to 7 board meetings, that Amy Goodman won a $600,000 contract, and that's why she put her support behind it. I mean, these are people who work there. You're paying them a salary. Meanwhile, you're not paying a salary to a White House correspondent. That's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you. Donna. You have Donna, then Susan Lee, and then Marion. I call your names in advance so you can step up, you know.
I'm Donna Gould from the WBI Bylaws Committee. I'm sorry to do this. I don't mean to take us back to something that we're trying to get done with, but I want to call your attention to the issue of listener rights in the bylaws. I know not everybody's interested in listener rights, but... Okay. Excuse me. The KPFA model had a number of items...
KPFK model?
KPFK, excuse me, having to do with listener rights, which were not included in the consolidated version. I don't know why. They were also supported by the New York City Bylaws Committee by and large. And I call your attention to them. They're on page 6 of the grid. I think that there are 3 issues that are very important in relation to listener rights. One is participation in decisions. The second is transparency in terms of the information available to listeners. And the last one is the possibility for listeners to members to communicate with each other. These issues are addressed by these suggestions, and I would like to see the board turn their attention to them.
Okay.
I'm not going to read them, but I want to say a number of them are very important, having to do with information being available about budget, about fundraisers, and about the particularly, I want to call your attention to the one that says that members have the right to have a regular monthly program of unscreened call-ins. The only thing that will that protected this network was the what listeners were able to find out, and it is crucial that listeners be able to communicate with each other without that information being cut off. And the fact that there's no gag rule does not guarantee that. The only thing that guarantees it is that kind of a program. The other question I have has to do with the issue of the acquisition, the listener's role in terms of acquisition and disposal of major assets. I don't have a copy of the latest consolidated version, but I looked at Manijay's copy, and it appears to me that it's just a repeat of what was in the previous one and does not include what, this is a question, I thought that we, that you agreed on that the sale of licenses must be approved by a vote of the membership.
Right. And we did.
Well,
it just
not,
hasn't been updated.
It's not in the consolidated version. Thank you.
Right. There's been no updated printout of that. That's old, what you're looking at.
No, I was looking at
Carol.
I'll clarify. It was my job to update the updated. I have not updated the updated. What we voted on in the last meeting has not yet been brought into a consolidated, but yes, we did agree that any disposition of licenses had to be approved by the
Okay, so we have Susan Lee and then Marion and then the guy in the white hat.
Susan Lee.
You're on the list,
He's
folks.
A member, by the way.
Whoever they are, you know, it doesn't matter. I took a list as hands went up. Go on. Susan
Lee, producer, WBAI. I have two things to I'd like to make a comment on. First of all, it never occurred to me what Susan DeSilva from Berkeley said, that we could just get on with it, that the board could be a little proactive here and get on with the thing. The situation in New York is really, I feel like we're snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. It's very unpleasant. That's number one. Number two, with all due respect, and this is why I believe that on-air producers must be allowed to be on this national board, I'm hearing a whiff of the board wants, or some of the board want, that staff have to listen to go to meetings and be told political this, and that all the programming should reflect that. Now, maybe it's because I have the network's only personal finance show, and I can't imagine how I'm going to integrate the war into it, but I'm not going to be told.
Well, I can imagine how you might.
But I'm not going to do it. If I'm told from above, this is not what Pacifica is about. We're about free speech. We're about creativity. We're about doing this. And so I would just again advocate that we have on air, that we shouldn't have to be stripped of our air to do service, which is ridiculous, this requirement that you're putting on us, but that people, if somebody had been here, they would have reacted. And so I'm going to react on behalf of producers. I do not want the board setting down rules or you know, even whiffs of empirization.
Nobody said that, though.
Thank
nobody
you.
Said that.
Otherwise, it would
we'll
have been
talk about that
already.
Later, but nobody said that. Okay, I have Mary next, then the guy in the white hat. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. And then you, and who's also a name I don't know.
Marion Bornstein from New York, a local advisory board. If and when we get through the bylaws and the procedures for elections, I envision the local governance board with power. And one of the things I envision them doing is that the local in New York City have their board meetings in various areas in the metropolitan area. For instance, board meetings in Brooklyn, board meetings, local board meeting in the Bronx, and one in Manhattan, and one out in the islands, and sometimes a board meeting upstate in Westchester. And I think that's where you're going to generate communities, people in those communities getting involved in the stations, actually taking the board into those communities and putting them down and meeting right there in this community to find out what these communities want on that station. I'm not as downhearted with the national. I hear a lot of information from Avery Brown on every night, giving an eye picture of what is happening around the world and comments from people around the world. So I'm not as pessimistic as we seem to be that we're not doing enough. We just came through a real ravaging of this foundation and the board. And right after that, we're hit with a international situation of an attack on Iraq. And we're still reeling from just where do we go from there. I do hear information on the Pacifica Network, and I think we're kind of very hard on ourselves. We also have program councils, and I think they can do something about pulling this. The other thing, one more, you have to have long-range goals and short-range goals for the Pacifica Foundation. Each station has to have its short-range goals and its long-range goals. And we are a station, we are a foundation and a media competing with multi-million dollar news outlets. And I talk about Pacifica and WBI every day. I was at another conference here, the 0 to 3 conference, and I've been talking about this air. And the people are educators there, and they are aware. They know where their money is going. They really know where their money is going.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Khalil.
Sorry.
Khalil is a member of the, Khalil.
Hello, my name is Khalil Jacobs Fantausi. I'm a member of the local advisory board in KPFA. And I just wanted to, first of all, acknowledge and appreciate how far we are from the last time I was here in Washington, D.C., which was the last Pacifica board weeks before we got locked out the station. And I think that, you know, it's a healthy feeling in here, and I think that we have some obstacles that we're trying to overcome, but I think that they're overcomable, and I think that we need to proceed in terms of what we want to see, like what Dan was saying, in terms of what we want to see Pacifica become. And in saying that, I just also wanted to ask, what is the commitment in terms of engaging young people of color in the discussion and dialogue around what Pacifica needs to become? And I think that, you know, we've been talking about the need of having some national programming that is aimed at young people of color, that incorporates, you know, younger generations, that is bilingual. And it's, you know, I understand it may not be your one or two priority issue, but it definitely needs to be a priority of the station. And I think that I have a responsibility as a teacher and a young person to try and encourage and incorporate other young people in being involved in this process. And I think that I see a lot of diversity of gender and a lot of diversity of ethnicity, but I don't see a lot of diversity of age. And I think that's something that we need to acknowledge and really try and work on as a network. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, yes. Oh, it's Billy Ray. Sorry, I couldn't tell you were sitting down there.
My name is Billy Ray, and Billy Ray Edwards, and I am a former producer, programmer of WPFW Radio, currently serving on the local advisory board on what one might consider the stepchild radio station within the Pacifica Network that don't know what the hell they're doing. It's very funny to me at this point in time is that I got a right to stand up and say to you all, the chickens came home to roost on this programming issue. And that was the issue that we first met, that I had made aware to this organization that is the primary purpose of Pacifica, the programming and the responsibility for the content, since we don't have it anymore as an individual since 1987. I want to congratulate the local advisory board here in Washington, D.C. for having the common sense to do one. Grandfathering, no. We had common sense enough to see the flaws in the hybrid and the KPFA model that the powers that be still remains in power if these bylaws are accepted. Now, we had the wherefore to define here at WPFW's local advisory board what it means to be a member of Pacifica, a listener-sponsored and a listener-member. The listener-sponsored pays his money, no involvement, but the listener-member is a person who chooses and signs on to become a part of the mission to help Pacifica move forward. Now, we've been subjected here to Washington to all kinds of things. One in particular, you know, like the communist agreement that were required in the early 50s for folks to sign in order to show their membership, you know, something that the government can get and put us all in concentration camps at one time, was presented at this last board meeting, our local advisory board meeting, that we should sign this agreement, you know, to the mission statement, that sort of thing. Now, as for me, I think I'm living proof that my lifetime ambition has been for this mission statement of Pacifica. And then the question of diversity. Diversity is an issue that I have been reading about on the internet now for like 3-4 months, I believe. But diversity is in programming. John Jakalevitz, I think that is his name, is circulating a petition. And I think it's a great petition. It sort of like reminds me of the way it was in Pacifica years and years ago when the individual had responsibility for content and programming. I see right now this board faced a tremendous problem because this lady with the white hair, the last lady that came up to speak, she spoke about producers having the right to control Susan. Their content.
Susan.
Yeah, she spoke about that. And that's an issue that you're going to have to address, like I pointed out at the first meeting that this board had. That's an issue that needs to be addressed. And I just want to thank you all, you know, for listening and taking into consideration that we here at WPFW is not asleep at the wheel, and the programming has gotten a lot better since the power structure that was in power before it was removed. Thank you so much.
1 second. Can I ask a question? Can you tell us quickly some of the ways in which the programming improved?
Programming, in other words, there's more community affairs programming at WPFW. I got to admit one thing. It may not be as fast as some people want it, but it is gradually becoming a station in line with, like I said, the petition that's being circulated on John Jakalevitz's petition that he's circulating right at this point about programming, and, you know, one-third of cultural, one-third of national, you know, one-third of local cultural, you know, that sort of thing. Programming has improved, and it's going to get better. But, you know, right now, I just, you know, what I'm really appalled at is the fact that we're here at WPFW, it's treated like stepchildren when it comes down to demanding certain things that I have read in emails that should not happen to any other station. If you're going to make one rule for a station, it should be for every station within the system. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're moving through the list slowly, surely. Kwasi's next, and then Patty, and then David.
Yeah, I'm going to try to be real brief here. my name is Kwasi Nkrumah. I'm the co-chair of the local advisory board at KPFK in Los Angeles. And, you know, I don't take any umbrage at people here. I mean, we all have a lot of different perspectives here about how this network needs to be built up and what its priorities need to be. And I can see some value in having coverage at the White House and places like this. But the fact is that you know, by and large, we're already saturated by coverage of the White House and the Pentagon and these other places. And it wouldn't really do our network that much good to have individuals in those settings who get bypassed during the question and answer period just to think that we are a network like every other network because we have a reporter there. I mean, personally, I'm much more in this period of the Homeland Security Act and the Patriot Act and these other repressive acts that our network be building something along the lines of community networks based on volunteer reporters who consistently feed into our system coverage of what's going on in our communities that is never covered by the mainstream media, and particularly in situations where any outspoken political activist or community person in this country can now be snatched off the street if they're raising any hackles about any public policy that they oppose coming down from the government, and may be disappeared overnight. We need to be like looking in some of those directions. And you know, frankly, it's cost effective because we can do this on a volunteer basis. We need to be doing it, frankly, from a political and personal survival perspective, as well as an organizing view of how we develop relations with communities. And as David Furtig was pointing out to me, I really think that this is where the training also of community volunteers who are willing, people who are activists in areas of housing, civil rights, social justice issues, anti-poverty organizing, anti-repression organizing, peace organizing, training them to be competent and effective reporters who can network with us and with other media outlets throughout their community to be much more effective in sharing the perspectives of people in our communities on all these public policies that are coming down on us from the top. And that's what I'd like more of us to, you know, be thinking in those kind of directions. And while I think it's perfectly appropriate for members of the board to want to know if our executive director has perspectives on things like work around the war, et cetera, I think that's fine. The fact of the matter, personally, is I think that the main function of our administrative staff right now needs to be to keep all the disparate pieces of this puzzle together long enough for us to get someplace that we can implement the programming changes that we're talking about. In Los Angeles, by and large, I think most of us view those changes coming from the bottom down rather than the top. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I've got 8 more people here, and it's 20 after 9, so you do the math. Okay, Patty, you're on the list already.
Hi.
Patty's next, and then David after Patty.
I'm Patty Heffley from New York. I wanted to say a couple quick things. I'm glad you brought up the Democracy Now! Contract, because I would have anyway. The archives of the archives that belong to Pacifica should remain in Pacifica's hands. Democracy Now! Archives, all the archives. And the subscriber list must also remain the property of Pacifica. These, I think, cannot be even negotiated in any way. They are ours. They're the public trust. The archive special that was a couple weeks ago was so amazing, you know. We need more of that, not just fundraising, but actually playing them. I wonder how much of the things that we're broadcasting today will sound like that in 10 years. Very little when I listen to the radio today. So we have to figure out what that is, what we're missing. Also, you mentioned how we treat each other. And I think that some of our less than civil behavior comes from the feeling of powerlessness. And some of it is the structure that's been designed for us to relate to each other. And some of it is by also watching others have no process, not following the process, and bulldozing their way through and, like, leaving everything in their wake. And these meetings have gone on and on because of people's behavior like that. So I think, you know, I would implore the IPMB to not allow people's agendas that are not to move Pacifica forward as the main goal to stop them from doing it. Someone has to stop them from doing it. And also, many of us have attended hundreds and hundreds of meetings and have the most knowledge about bylaws, for example, and we don't have any real say in the end result. The end result so far doesn't include any binding referenda and by the listeners, and hopefully you can find some way to empower the listeners in all this. We must have the airwaves to inform and educate people honestly about this, or else the elections will do nothing to keep this network safe. And that's really the goal, is to have a place where we can speak for people like Alan Nairn when he was in East Timor, to have a phone call connection to tell the world what was happening. You know, it's not about someone's show. It's not about any of this. It's about that, and we are in deep trouble now. And so anybody's goals that don't include that as the main goal is moving Pacifica forward, I would hope that the IPMB will try to pay attention to that and stop that and move on to the next thing that's going to save us. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, David and then the woman over there. I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Hi, thank you. I'm David Moore, a listener sponsor from Montana. I'd like to speak very briefly to two issues. First, that notion of structured discussions about Pacifica's mission, and then perhaps a sagging question about local diversity in the elections process. First, I really want to applaud the idea that we need a structured discussion nationwide on the mission of Pacifica as it translates into programming and outreach and the sense of building our own community. I want to address this in terms of that wonderful phrase, acidic and corrosive, that Jabari used, and Leslie's suggestion that we simply need to learn to get along and work together, and what Patty just said about the sense of powerlessness. I really feel like we are numb, not only being overloaded, but also after 53 years of a Cold War and increasingly freezing sense of possibility for peace in the world. And by the way, I want to ask if we couldn't just to take a moment aside here, if we couldn't pass the hat and donate to this wonderful historic church for heat tomorrow. Is that possible?
I don't know that that's the issue, but
I'm not sure it's turned on, but no. I'm sure we could gather something for that. But I really want to suggest that we are in a, I mean, this is a wonderful metaphor for the lack of energy that we have for our real mission, which, I mean, we are numbed by the sense of cold in the world. And we need this kind of discussion within Pacifica about the power of peace. It's hard to remember what Gandhi and King had faith in when we are so utterly overwhelmed by a chronic permanent war. And we need those discussions. And I think there are a lot of people in the community who would like to contribute to those. Second discussion, it may be a finished topic, but I would like to suggest that whether the board needs to take a stand on the final form of elections in the bylaws, or whether that stand can be allowing each community to work out its own process, is I think still an issue in the community. I'm hearing that here, and so if that's still to be discussed, I'd appreciate hearing more. Thanks very much.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, this one with the hat. And then Andrea, and then Dina. Andrea, you're going to be after her. And then I got her on.
Thank you.
And folks, I really have to ask people to try and keep it.
My name is Lizette King, and I consider myself to be a very oddity here, so I would defer my comments for tomorrow.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, we're all kind of odd. But okay, that's great. If you'll be back tomorrow, that's great. And anybody else who wants to follow that incredibly powerful example and wait till tomorrow, that would be great. That would be great. There will be time tomorrow. I have you on the list. Don't worry. We have Andrea, and then Dina, and then Randy. Reem, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow. Your hand just went up, so... Yeah, Andrea and then Dina. Come on, Andrea, let's go. I'm filling time while you're getting up there.
Oh, sorry, thank you, okay. I'm from New York. A lot of people have said tonight things that are very important that I want to underscore. What Dan Coughlin spoke that of the fact that we need to respond here at Pacifica. We need to learn how to respond and develop ways to respond to the current and international crises that are happening in the world. And the way to do that is to create democratic structures in this country and at Pacifica. That's the way that we can most help to respond to the international crises is to build democracy on the ground, and we must do that at Pacifica. And there have been a number of proposals and statements made tonight to that effect that I think we all feel in the community very strongly, and I want to urge us to extend these discussions until we solve them satisfactorily, until we're able actually to build a power base within this network of the listeners that will be able to extend out into the communities, to power bases of the community. Binding referenda, as Patty Heffling mentioned, are very important. They have never been discussed. We are not discussing a ratification convention in detail. And I think the procedures for this and the procedures for giving membership power in this ratification convention must be outlined before the interim board is out and before the elections proceed. And I want to urge us to add that to our agenda for discussion and to tomorrow and at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have Dina and then Randy. Okay, yeah, we will open up some space tomorrow to make sure that we get everybody.
I wasn't sure, that's
all. Okay, come on.
Hi, I'm Dina Colbert from WBAI.
Pick it up, just tilt it up, you got it.
Voila. I'm Dina Colbert from WBAI in New York City. I know that budget is an issue, and I'm not asking for anything this minute, but as far as the affiliates go, I really still would like to bring up an outreach coordinator for affiliates. That means new stations, not stations that we've had in the past, but new stations, because as we grow, we are growing exponentially by tens of thousands, if not millions of people, and we need that for technology. We are going to be up against the FCC in ways that our five little stations and our 40 maybe something affiliates cannot handle. We need mass approach to this. We don't have dollars, so we have people. If we would hire an affiliate outreach coordinator, we would have the power necessary. If we go digital, what are we going to do? Not only if, it's when. And the other technologies, and how do we hook up internationally? All of that needs to be addressed, and it can be addressed through the affiliate outreach coordinator, because they, in fact, many of our affiliates are well ahead of us in what we do, as many of us know. So I ask you to put that on the agenda for your next budget when we do have time and money. Thank you.
Thanks. You're going to hear more, I think, tomorrow, probably from Teresa and others, possibly, including yourself, Dina, about some of the work that's been happening around the affiliates. One of the exciting things is that what we've discovered is that so many, many affiliates left Pacifica in recent years, but many are coming back, double what it was today than what it was in January, and there seems to be at least 20 affiliates today who are considering coming back into Pacifica in the very near term. So I think we can take advantage of that with a little bit of work, and hopefully if we can find a way to really work with other community radio stations around the country. As I said, it's critical for us, as you're saying, to partner with progressive media organizations around the country, around the world at this time.
In technology.
Yes, in different ways.
Okay, we got three more people on the list here. So let's just try and take them in rapid fire order. The guy with the glasses, the short guy who was jumping up and down before. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. White shirt. Okay, he's gone, I guess. See, you wait long enough and they knew it. Okay, and then this woman shorter with glasses. Again, I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Yes, you're walking around. And star there. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Joni Eisenberg. I'm a producer here at WPFW Radio. And I think we should take a little hint from the cold in the room that sometimes we have to warm ourselves up at these meetings. We have a lot to be proud of. We have a lot of successes. And I would like to make a recommendation to the board that we toot our own horn a little bit more. When I go out into the community and I challenge anybody in this room to go outside now, get into a cab. See what the cab drivers are saying. Billy Ray will tell you about WPFW. People love this station in this community. I go all around the city, I go to the east of the river, and when I mention PFW, people stand up and cheer. I think we should talk specifically at some of these board meetings and share with each other some of the positive things we're doing with programming. And we are doing a lot of positive things at PFW. I would love to hear what the other stations are doing. One example, this last week, we had a week-long series of programs that we call Connecting the Dots, the HIV epidemic from Africa to the District of Columbia, and where we said over and over again we need to connect the dots with the war that's being waged and this terrible epidemic that's hitting us globally. We would love to be able to share what we did with this special this week with other stations. We would love at PFW to hear what successes they'd have in programming at KPFA and Houston and New York. So that's a specific suggestion that perhaps at these board meetings we have a chance to share the successes we're having with programming.
Thank you. Okay, final for tonight. Star. Star.
Who's that?
My name is Star Bowie, and I just wanted to address an aspect of the coverage that programmers may be doing on the war and the current crisis that everyone has mentioned as a priority. And I appreciate the opportunity to go into this. There are two requests. One has to do with an immediate and particular issue, and the other has to do with more long-range and general coverage. The immediate and particular issue is one that has not been given, many of us feel who are doing Middle East work, adequate attention, and that is the issue having to do with what Israel is planning to do or is widely believed to be planning to do under cover of the U.S. war with Iraq. This particular dimension wasn't addressed in the answer demonstration in October. United for Justice put out a very good publication, but it didn't cover this. And Israel is evidently planning to do final mass expulsions that echo the expulsions that were carried out in 1948 upon its founding, where 800,000 Palestinians were forcibly shoved off of the land, many of them massacred. There have been articles written by people like Ed Herman, Nasir Arouri, many others, and Israeli professors, Ilan Pape, Tanya Reinhardt on this very issue. And AFSC, which is not a wild and woolly radical group far out there, has put out a call to action. But the dimensions of the problem have really not been adequately addressed. Israel also, according to Jane's Defense Weekly, is planning to go into, quite likely planning to go into Lebanon, and there may be preliminary bombing by the U.S. to help that effort. Projections by people like Norm Finkelstein actually are that there may be more casualties as a result of what Israel will be doing. And, of course, Israel is always acting in collusion with the United States. Differences that they may have are pretty... they're not tremendous compared to the amount of agreement they have in terms of defeating Arab aspirations in the area for control of resources. Anyway, I would just, in terms of long-range programming, the request would be that there be far more coverage of what Israel is doing in the Middle East, its role within the context of U.S. Foreign policy, especially in that region and around the world. There's a tendency in programming to only use speakers who will talk about the evils of the occupation, and it's ignoring a tremendous problem in terms of our ability to make alliances with those who, for instance, at Durban last year, the Conference on Racism, were addressing this problem, and it's represents a tremendous drain on resources. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I want to thank everybody for, you know, a very full range of comments and questions and insights and ideas. And obviously we'll be revisiting a lot of these things as we move through the agenda. We really need to start at 9 tomorrow. I know it's winter time and people don't like to get out of bed early, but we are going to start here. We'll talk to the church about the heat situation. Please come back at 9 or before 9. So that we can get going. Verna needs to say, folks, just hold on 1 second, okay? Hold on 1 second, folks. Hello? I don't know if this mic is on.
This mic's not on all the time.
Okay, can we have the floor mic?
I just wanted to...
No, the floor mic. It's not on.
Yeah, just that we have resolved the heating problem, and tomorrow we'll be meeting downstairs in the dining room. It's a lot warmer. So we should reset up down there
okay.
tomorrow.
Okay, the point is get here by 8:45 so you can be shepherded to the right room. Okay, thanks, Erna.
I don't know. I don't think so. But...